Now take your Bible and go to Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, and we'll begin reading this morning in verse 57. In this ninth chapter, Jesus is calling. He's calling. He's calling you. He's calling me. He's calling you. He's calling me. He calls the 12. He says, if any man wants to come follow me, let him take up his cross and follow me. We come to the end of the ninth chapter, and Jesus uses an illustration that we want to look at this morning. In Luke 9, we begin in verse 57, and we read through the end of the chapter. You listen now as I read, because this is the Word of God. And as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. What's a bold statement, isn't it? Jesus, you can count on me. Wherever you go, I'll go. No turning back, no place too low, no place too high. Wherever you go, I'll follow. And Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another one, follow me. But he said, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. But he said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. And another also said, I'll follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home. And then verse 62. Read this out loud with me. You see it there on the screen. But Jesus said to him, no one after putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Wow. What a verse. No one after putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for kingdom service. I don't know much about plowing. I think of this verse every time I think of the old joke I heard when I was just a kid growing up. We had ordained preachers. An elderly pastor said one time, he asked a young man that had been called, he said, to preach, and he said when they let him preach the first time, it was the worst thing they'd ever heard. It was absolutely awful. He couldn't use the Bible. And they asked him, son, how do you know that God called you to preach? He said, well, I looked up in the sky and I saw clouds and it was written, go preach. The old pastor said, you know, your daddy's a farmer. I'm not sure you read real well. I think it may have said, go plow, is what it told you to do. Well, I'm here to tell you, if God's called you to go preach, or if he's called you to follow the kingdom, he has called you to go plow. Now, I don't know much about plowing. I know about church. I know this morning we had a fire alarm in early Sunday school. Kind of stirred people up. Amen. It was a lot of fun. People scurrying. Some folks missed it. They didn't even know we had one. They came walking in at 8:25 and they said, wow, everybody's late this morning. No, everybody had been here and gone out and gone back in. And the air conditioning, it got all goofed up. And it went up to, it was 75, 76 degrees. And then it came down, it's going down. And so you're going to be cold, hot. And I get more requests for temperature change at Olive than anything in the world. I have people every Sunday. Well, let me just let you know a good word. Thank God you're not a Christian in Egypt today. This morning, the Egyptian government met with the Muslim Brotherhood for negotiation. Headlines on the news. I don't know much about plowing. I know about buildings and air conditioning. I know about Sunday school. But my granddaddy used to tell me he plowed an old horse or a mule. And it was two handles, and he'd take it with either an ox or a horse or a mule. And that oxen would pull that plow. And this is exactly what Jesus is talking about here. Some kind of plow. Didn't look exactly like this one, but some kind of stock, and it have handles, and you'd get behind it and keep it in the furrow, and you can't look that way, because if you look that way, you're dead and stink. You got to go this way. And Jesus is saying, any man that looks back is not fit. And he's using this illustration of a plow. Now I want to apply that to every life in here today, and I want to say two things. Number one, let's talk about putting your hand to the plow. Do you remember the first time? Do you remember the day when you put your hand to the plow? Do you remember the moment, the day when you trusted Jesus? I do, man. I was 10 years old when I put my hand to the plow. I put my hand to the plow, and I said, Lord, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go forward with you, and I'm going to trust you for my salvation. I understood that I was a sinner, that Jesus died for me, and he said, whosoever will, let him come and put his hand to the plow, and let's go. And Jesus has been, since he came, calling people, follow me, follow me. And in just a moment, he's going to call you out of that balcony to come follow him. He's calling you around this ground floor, follow him out of the choir. Somewhere, Jesus is saying to you, follow me, follow me. But you know why people don't follow him? We do the same thing they did in Luke chapter 9. We make excuses. Well, we won't follow. Why? Because look at these three excuses. First one said, Lord, I'll go with you anywhere. Jesus said, now don't forget, there's a financial cost. Oh, yeah. I don't have anywhere to lay my head. But it tells us today we've got a housing crisis. Let me tell you, Jesus had a housing crisis. He had no place to call home, no place to lay his head. He said, mark this down. If you're going to follow me, there's some financial issues going to come your way. The second one said, well, Lord, first, let me go and bury my father. Not only will you have financial issues, you'll have family issues. There'll be some family issues. Not everybody in your family is going to agree. When you put your hand to the plow, there are going to be some people going to say, fool, stupid, I can't believe you've done that. He said, let me go first and bury my father. Well, if his father was dead, he would not have been out here listening to the Lord. He would have been at a family. See, the deal is, this guy's daddy's not dead yet. He said, Lord, let me wait a while, and when my father dies, then I can do it. There's some family issues. But there are also some formal issues. And that's the last gentleman that said, let me go say goodbye to my family. This guy was holding on to some formality in his life. That's not wrong to say that, because Elijah called Elisha, and Elisha said, let me go back. And he said, certainly go. And he went and did some things at home and then came and followed him. There's some things to get in order, Jesus understands, but these are just excuses. Some of you are in this room and you hear this preacher preach again and again and again, and you've never, ever put your hand to the plow. Why? Procrastination. I'll do it another time. Pride. Oh, you guys really don't need that. Some with false humility. You know, Pastor, I'd get saved, but I'm really not worthy. Well, now, friend, there's no debate about that. You're not worthy. You're a sinner. You're lost. Your righteousness is like filth. You're not worthy. He's worthy. Come put your hand to the plow and let him change you. Sing with the choir. What a change. Sing it high, sing it low. What a change. That's what he'll do. When you put your hand to the plow, there'll be a change. Since Jesus came into my heart. That's it. Your heart is different when Jesus comes in. He makes a change. I told Miss Helen down here at the furthest of the service. I said, Miss Helen, I almost have to tell you to slow down. I said, I saw you underneath the pew. I saw you patting your foot on that song. And she gave me a big smile like she is right now because she's my friend. I'm telling you, when Jesus makes a change, there's joy. Amen. Yeah, indeed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But why won't you come and put your hand to procrastination? Pride, false humility. I just am not going to do it. Some of you will give mental affirmation without heart surrender. You say, I believe Jesus in my head, but there's never been a heart affirmation. That is, you believe up here, but you've never put your hand to the plow. You see, friend, it's not enough to believe in your head. Even the devils, the Bible says, believe that Jesus is the Christ, but they're not saved. It's not enough just to say, oh, I believe the gospel. You must act. You must put your hand to the plow. Putting your hand to the plow. In just a moment, I'm going to give an invitation. I'm going to ask you to come. I'm going to be standing right here, and I'm going to ask you to come one by one, family by family. Say, Pastor, today's the day. We're putting our hand to the plow, and we're ready. We're ready. We're ready. But there's a second thing I want to say to you this morning. Not only is there today the day to put your hand to the plow, I want to talk to you about keeping your hand to the plow. Oh, yeah. This is a scary verse where Jesus said, no one after putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Why is that? Well, when you plow, as I said, if you look back, you'll cut a crooked fur. You could have crooked roll. Some people have not just looked back. Some people have just stopped in the middle of the plowing, let go of the plow handles, and they have walked off back to an old lifestyle. Some of you are in this room today that used to have your hand to the plow, and you've let go of the handles, and you've just said, let somebody else do it. And dear friend, Jesus said, you are not fit for the kingdom. It's time for some people to get fit for the kingdom today. It's time for some people to repent, to get up off their self-righteous stool, come back to the plow, pick it up, put your hands on the handle, give a giddy up to whatever's giving you the strength to pull, and go. He that puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit. And I want to give you three key words this morning that I want you to think about. Keeping your hand to the plow. I'm going to preach tonight on what happened last Sunday night. What in the world happened at Olive Baptist Church during Solemn Assembly? Well, the glory of God came. Power of God fell. People put their hand to the plow. People ask us, suppose we do that again. I said, yeah, we'll do it again. But until then, there needs to be some persistence. Christian lives are not lived in solemn assemblies. Christian lives are lived day by day with persistence. And when you plow, often nobody's looking. You're persistent. And you're there day in and day out, in season and out of season. Look in your Bible at Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. The Bible says this: Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Don't leave the plow. Don't look back, but forget what's back and go forward, looking upward and onward to what God has for us in days to come. There must be a persistence in the plow. Some of you this morning, when I give the invitation in a moment, you need to come home. You need to come home. You need to come home and plow again. Some of you need to come home and return to the field of the kingdom of God and its labor again. Persistence. Well, you attend church from time to time, but church attendance is not plowing. Church attendance is watching someone else plow. Church attendance is encouragement. It's good, but I'm telling you, it's not plowing. Plowing is not here. Plowing is out there. And there's a gospel plow, and it takes persistence. There's a second key word. It takes power. Power. Now hear me, church. Thank God that you don't have to push the plow by yourself. Now there is a kind of plow that's just got a wheel and it doesn't hook up to anything, and you run that on your own. I love these commercials. They're just starting to break on television about some little doodad a guy's made, and he's got a warehouse full of them, and now you get one for $19.95, and you know, if you call now within the next 10 minutes, we'll send you 10 for $10. And they have one that's got little wheels on it, and I don't know, it's called the weasel or something. And you just run, and it just throws dirt everywhere. And, you know, well, you know, that works if you're in a mulch yard. But now, if you're in my yard, that won't work. My yard will eat the teeth off that weasel. Amen. You got to have something as you. You got to have a motor, something that's got power. What Jesus was talking about was hooking up to an oxen. Let me tell you, the man that plows, it takes strength, and you got to be strong. But I'm telling you, what runs the plow through the soil is not you, it's the oxen. And for us here today, the power for us to do gospel plowing is not us. It's the power of the Holy Spirit of God. For the Spirit of God is what pulls the plow through the hard ground and the stony ground and the fertile ground. And you are guiding the plow, but you are watching the power of the Spirit of God within your life. Hook up. Hook up. And let the power of God go through you. I have had the greatest week of my life and the worst week of my life. I'll tell you more about it tonight. After Solemn Assembly, I've had the highest of highs. I'm going to share with you tonight about some of my outreach and different things. I'm telling you, God just moved. And then all hell broke loose. The devil can't stand that. Man, I got in trouble at home. I got in trouble in my office. I got in trouble in my church family. I got in trouble in my community. It is awful. I went Friday night to preach up in Monroeville, Alabama, and I spoke to 150 men in the men's conference. I told them, first thing I said is, I've never been so glad to be out of Pensacola in all my life. I said, I'm telling you guys, the devil lives down there. He's I don't know if he lives up here in Alabama, but he lives in a panhandle of Florida. He's trying to move in with me. What tribulation teaches you is that you can't plow on your own power. You die to yourself and let God take the plow through hard ground, through stony ground, through sometimes thorn-infested ground, and sometimes through good ground. Man, I've been in some great ground this week. I mean, it's been wonderful, but if you're not careful, you'll so major on what was negative, you'll forget the blessing of God. But it's been so good to watch the plow run through the soil this week. Don't forget, there is persistence, there is power. But now thirdly, and this is why I brought all of you here this morning, there's the word balance. Balance. Don't forget, look at this picture again of this plow. There are two handles on the plow. Not one, Two handles. Now, I chose this picture for all you Super Bowl people because you'll see these folks, these Clydesdales tonight that look just like this. They're going to come walking right into your home, all right? But they're not going to have a two-handled plow. They're going to have a two-fisted drinker behind them. That plow, there's balance. It takes two hands. All right, everybody, put your Bible down in your lap and put your hands up just like this right here. This is not the Pentecostal salute. This is an illustration. All right? You got it, choir? Amen. All right. Somebody has just turned on the internet and they said, oh, my Lord, what happened in Olive Baptist Church? There's two hands. Wave them at me. It's two hands. All right? You say, well, Prince, you're treating us like children. Well, sometimes that's appropriate. Good news, good works. Let's say it out loud. Good news, good works. Good news, good works. Good news, good works. That's it. There's good news. It's two claps. Who's preaching this sermon, John? It's good news, good works. There's two of them. I want you to see, there's good news. That's how we plow with balance. Now, some people just want to give good news, good news, good news, good news. And they forget about the good works, the good works, the good works. Some people just want to do good works. They just want to feed the hungry. They just want to give a cup of cold water. They just want to be merciful and help everybody, but never get to the gospel. Dear friend, the plow demands balance. Good news, good works, good news, good works, good news, good works. A balance is demanded. I want to talk to you about that for a moment. First of all, I want to talk about good works. Good works. That's what the Ministry Village at Olive is all about. Now, this morning, the back road is closed. You cannot get out the back road. I apologize. I thought it would be ready this morning, but the rain would not let us, and so you're all going to have to go out the other way. It'll take you a little longer to get out. So remember, good works, no cussing going out the parking lot. Ministry Village at Olive, well, that road's going to soon be done. And the MVO, why do we do that? It's for good works. Why did I ask you to bring soup today for the Packers, for the Steelers, and having a little fun? Just why? Because we can feed people that are hungry. It's called good works. Why do we ask you to work in Awanas and keep those kids and teach them Bible verses and so mamas and daddies could come? Why do we have you work down in the child care? Let me tell you, if you're a member of this church, everybody ought to sign up for child care at least once a quarter, at least twice a year. You ought to do it. I'm telling you, if you can stand up, you ought to do that. You say, well, I'm not fond of kids. Let me tell you, there's half the people working down there not fond of kids. It's not about fondness. It's about fruitfulness. It's about service. I mean, if I only did the things I like, why do we have, it's called good works. It allows mamas and daddies a time to be away, and they come and uninterrupted that they can be in church. Why do we have the Ferry Pass Reading Club on Wednesday nights, and we bring those kids from Ferry Pass and somebody sits down and reads to them and helps them raise their scores? This coming Saturday is the governmental prayer breakfast, and our superintendent of schools, Malcolm Thomas, I love Malcolm Thomas. That's a good man. He loves Jesus. Malcolm's going to speak Saturday morning at that. And last year, he said, Pastor, you guys are doing such a great job over there at Ferry Pass. Thank you for coming and helping us. It's good. We don't just get to go in and preach the gospel and give an invitation, but it's good works. Why do we do the military lunch this morning? Why after this second service at 12:15, 12:20, 12:30, will we bring those military personnel that came on a van this morning and feed them? Why? It's called good works. It's a balance in the plow. But listen to me. If we only do good works, we'll never get to the good news. And if you just preach the good news, you can come across very legalistic. Without the good works, there must be balance with the plow. It's two-handled and it's two-handed. It's good news. It's good works. It's good news. Good works. Good news. Good works. Good works. But it also demands good news. You have a worship guide this morning. Look at the front of it, please. Please look at it. You see some people there. It says ERC. This is the Evangelism Response Center. Television programs all across America preach the gospel. And a number goes across the screen, and that number is 1-800-so-and-so, and it'll tell you where to call. And those calls go into Atlanta, Georgia, to North American Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention at the Evangelism Response Center. That call goes into Atlanta and bounces out to somebody's house. Dr. Jerry Passmore, our former pastor and pastor emeritus, is one of those, and he's going to be training anybody else who'd like to do it. You can take a block of time. Say from 8 to 10 on a Thursday night, and you're going to be at home, your phone, you're watching TV or whatever, your phone rings, you'll know it's that number. You take that number, and that person is calling, and they want prayer, they want help. Brother Jerry tells me all the time, people he's leading to the Lord at the ERC, at the Evangelism Response Center. Comes right to his phone, he leads them, takes their name, address, sends it back to Atlanta by the email. So, well, I wouldn't know how to do all that. Dr. Passmore teach you how to do that. This is the good news. You don't even have to go out and knock a door. I mean, this is easy fruit. It's low-hanging fruit. But if you've never been trained, it's a great way to be trained. You can see the time of training, Wednesday night, February 9 and 16. The next two Wednesday nights, you can do that, 7 o'clock, right here at the church. Brother Jerry will train you. He'll help you, and he'll encourage you. It's one way we do good news. Another way that we do that is with Disciple Now. Today is the day to sign up for Disciple Now. We'll have lost kids that'll sign up for Disciple Now. These are for middle school and high schoolers. You need to get every middle schooler, every high schooler need to be here. They'll be in mass over here in this section in the second service. I'll talk to them. But Disciple Now, those middle school boys, middle school girls, high school boys, high school girls, they'll come to your home if you signed up for that. You get all boys or all girls. We've already got all the homes lined up. Hope we don't have enough. I have to come back and ask for some more after today. But that they go in and have somebody come in. They share the gospel. It's a great evangelism and disciple building time. Why do we do that? It's called good news. ERC. We do it with Disciple Now. There are almost 1,000 apartment dwellings around 2 miles around Olive Baptist Church. And so we're trying to do an apartment ministry, and Buck Waters is helping us with that. He's got a table out in the foyer. If you live in one of these apartments like Governor's Gate or somewhere around here, he needs help, and he's trying to infiltrate those places and get in. Man, they got big gates and dogs and people with guns. You can't get in. I'm just deaconly speaking now. They really don't have guns out there. But it's hard to get in. But if you're already in, you're planted. As the spies try to come in, some of you are like Rahab. You're already on the inside. You can make a place for the gospel. These apartments, I'm telling you, if we don't attack the apartments in Pensacola, we're going to lose a fertile field. Military, others, mostly young couples, but not all. Sometimes they're older folks, but mostly young couples and families that are in there. And we need to do a multitude of good works in order to share the good news in these apartment dwellings around here. They're going to be training this afternoon. 6 o'clock Wednesday night. You can see the time when they'll train at 6 o'clock on Wednesday night. Maybe ERCs for you, maybe apartments for you. I'm telling you, you can be a part of sharing the gospel. Now, you got your worship guide? You still got it right there in front of you? Now, there's a card inside your worship guide this morning, and it's right here. You see it? It's called the Invest and Invite card. Everybody got one? Raise it up and wave it at the pastor. Tell me you got one. All right? You say, preacher, I'm not going to do it. But I figure you won't ever invite or invest in anything either, so... So are you going to hurt my feelings? I'm trying to. It's time somebody hurts your feelings. You sit there like a moss rock. I mean, you ain't going to help nobody. So, preacher, that's kind of crude. Well, I'm just telling you, friend, it's time for the Church of the Living God to wake up. It's time we count for something. Just get a little bit excited. Amen. You see, out of last Sunday night needs to come a response that leads us toward what can be one of the greatest harvest weekends we've ever known. It's called Easter weekend. Now look at this little card. On the front of it, it says, Invest and Invite, Olive Baptist Church. I will seek to invest in others who do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and invite them to Olive. When you flip that card over, there's three spots, three people I plan to invest in and invite to Olive. Here's what I'm going to pledge to do. I will pray for them daily. I will share a verbal witness, and I'll invite them to Olive. Here's what I want you to do with this card. We're going to take a minute, 60 seconds here in just a few minutes. Now, I don't want you to write anything on this card, but I want you to pray for God to show you who your three people are supposed to be. In this 1 minute, I want you to ask God to show you and reveal to you. And then sometime this afternoon, I want you to keep this in your Bible. I want you to write those names. I already know who mine are. I got more than three, but I'm going to put three, the big three, on this card. Now, let's just say that Ted Traylor was one of the people that you were trying to reach. If I was a lost man and you put me on here, I'm telling you, the first thing you ought to do is find out when my birthday is. That's how you're going to invest in me. You say, well, his daughter got married 2 weeks ago. That'd be great. You write him a note and say, man, praying for you as you transition your daughter into matrimony. Find out when my anniversary is. So, well, preacher, how do I find that out? Listen, if you want to know something in this age, you can find it out. It's easy done. You can find it. You can ask friends. Discern. It's a good Bible word. You find out some way that you're going to invest. Well, you're going to invite them to lunch. You just go say, hey, how about Thursday afternoon we go to lunch? And you just go sit down and get to know them, let them tell your story. You're going to make a friend. You're going to somehow invest. And then you're going to make the big ask. You're going to invite. You're going to invite them to Olive, and you're also going to invite them to the cross. So, Pastor, I don't think I'm trained. I don't know if I can do that. Invite them to Olive. Get them here on Easter. I'm telling you, we will give them the gospel clear and plain and simple. It's a great time. Do you know statistics prove that if you invite a lost person who never goes to church, if you will invite them to come with you to your church, 70% of the time they will come with you at least one time. If you will just ask them, they will come. I have four couples coming to the 11 o'clock service today. And I asked them one time this week. And I will see if they show up, but everyone of them said to me, I'll be there. If you will make the big ask, I'm here to tell you, they will come with you at least once, and many will return again. It's called the Invest and Invite card. I want you just to fill that out, then you sign it this afternoon, put a date on there, and I want you to put it in your Bible, or maybe just stick it up on the mirror where you go each day to put on your makeup or shave. If you do both those things, you need to come to the altar and see me in a little while. But put it up when you're looking at the mirror, wherever it is, go wherever you go every day, you put that on there and you look at it and you just say, Lord, help me today to connect with him. Teenagers, is a great way to do it. You go into class, you put it there. Just remember. You can get some more of these and stick it up somewhere. You're going to invest in and invite to. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get dead silent. Nobody leave. And then we're going to have the invitation. I want you to just for a 60 seconds, soft music's going to begin to play. And while that music plays, I want you just to ask God right now, Lord, who are the three people to place on my card? Be still and ask him just now.